amble.
Probably. We just won't preamble.
Fair enough. Ambling along.
Fair enough.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, happy to amble along with you this morning. Yeah.
And I, you.
Good. I guess that means it's good we're doing this.
Yeah, no doubt.
I guess. I guess it's okay if sometimes I don't like doing it with you. But that's never been the case yet, so. yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't think of a time when we've really had a heated discussion or argument even in some ways between the two of us, which that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's the show you want, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
This
yeah.
isn't the one. We're a little too like-minded, but...
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
But can you ever think of a time when you really had a heated discussion with somebody? Not necessarily a physical fight, but you know, a heated discussion that just really spun you up.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Yeah?
Oh yeah.
How many times does that happen with a family member?
Yeah. And probably the ratio is higher.
Is it? Would you say the majority of times?
I guess because, I mean, maybe it's some sort, maybe it's maybe equal, but the difference is the non-family is across all kinds of spectrums.
Sure.
Where family is one category that makes up half of all of those feelings. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. In other words, with people in general, you know, you've had as many arguments, maybe, but the spectrum is broader. It's dispersed out of a number of people.
It's
but
work, it's sports, it's...
Yeah.
Competition
doesn't necessarily count.
Okay.
You know,
what about family game time? Because that's some of the most competitive times I've experienced.
No doubt. Yeah. Politics could probably play into that.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, heated discussions or more heated discussions, that kind of things. Yeah.
What about you?
What about me?
You answer the question.
I prefer asking the questions.
I know.
But a heated discussion. I have probably had as many heated discussions in my own house as I have really outside of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, that's still family.
Yeah,
but you're saying even more centralized.
I'm saying it's probably,
to
be honest with you, it's probably more, you know, Chris and I over the years.
Gotcha.
You know, in that process of, you know, differing views.
Yeah, I wasn't counting Megan. I guess that tips the scales quite a bit more, for sure. I mean, that's half the fun of marriage.
There you go.
Duking it out once in a while.
Every now and then.
Every now and then.
Yes.
Yep.
Conflict builds intimacy.
That's right.
So in that process, though, I was thinking about that, you know, in the we've kind of, as a culture, we've reverted to it as the seasons. You know, we don't necessarily say Happy Thanksgiving or Merry Christmas as much, you know. Mm-hmm. We kind of, but you know, this time,
the holidays,
this time right between, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you know, we're kind of in that process of having maybe some family time at Thanksgiving and, you know, enjoying that. And yet, you know, we're kind of looking forward to Christmas and, you know, likely different family time or prolonged family time. And just thinking about it in that context of being able to enjoy that and thinking about any things that you've learned through those conflicts or over time that become helpful in that process.
That's good. We just released recently an episode about holidays, right?
Yeah.
That one was actually recorded last January. It was basically kind of a post-holiday season reflection. And then we said, you know, maybe we won't release this right now since holidays are over and it feels a little bit, you know, I don't know if everyone else is going to enjoy talking about Christmas, you know, 3 weeks after.
Sure.
4 weeks. So we released that, you know, a couple weeks ago. But so this is maybe sort of an extension of that or conversation that kind of extends from that. But just, you may think that we just, you know, recorded that. But nope, that was a January discussion. Yeah. So we're ready to have it again.
Exactly. I think that's where it comes. Yeah, that's where it comes from, is this time of year.
Yep.
And, you know.
It's the most.
Yes.
Wonderful.
That's how the song goes.
Time of the year.
But then there's that other song you guys sing, you know, that yeah. It's like, you know, this is a tough season for some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because circumstances have changed over the process of the year.
Yep.
Or relationships.
Yeah, for sure. And your, so back to your question, was conflicts and what have you learned through past conflicts and family situations? What about you?
Are you going to answer my question, or are you just reflecting?
I want you to answer first.
As I was thinking about it, and I think
I like turning the tables once in a while.
That's okay. I'm still willing. I'm good for it. Yeah. But in that process, I am thinking about life cycle stages. Because granted, right now, you know, I'm thinking about it in the context that, you know, this is the first. Yeah, this is the first season where Chris and I, you know, as a couple have had to, not had to, as this is the first season that we've needed to take other families into consideration as our children, our young adults, and they have their own relationships. And it's like in the back of our mind, there's now this second guessing of this time, this date, you know, and does that work, you know, and is, you know, is John's friend's family going to be doing something, or is Lizzie's friend, you know, as we're coordinating these schedules. So that's, and you know, and granted, it,
and
you
it's
know,
real fresh.
It is real fresh.
Yeah.
It's real fresh. And then the fact that my mom, you know, passed away in the end of August, and, you know, and just how that factors in, you know, into that equation. It was, you know, because I was thinking about it. We,
and last Christmas, what's it, Ernie? No, what's,
yes, Ernie. Chris's father, Ernie, was
had
not
just
here.
Passed away.
Yeah,
so
he
like
was not here last
both,
Christmas.
Both Christmases kind of fresh with one of your parents passing away. So kind of relearning those family, because that was Chris's side and now it's your side. So it's kind
exactly.
of
so what
the
we
same
do,
thing, but different because it's a different family unit. Yeah.
And so, how we take, you know, Linda, Chris's mom, and, you know, my dad into consideration, you know, as still being, you know, the surviving partner, and how that changes, you know, their viewpoints, and, you know, and so, that's kind of what.
Yeah. Cause everyone's relearning it now. Right.
Yeah.
Like, how does this work now?
Yep.
And no one knows, I think.
Exactly.
Right. So you kind of just work through it, try the old tradition, see what works. Is that.
Yeah. Cause it was funny. Every now and then, of course, you know, is something will kind of catch you off guard, you know, when you think about it being different. But we got together with our small group on Monday night, and they read the Christmas story, you know, from Luke, that kind of thing. And, you know, the person that read it kind of started tearing up a little bit. Actually, Jeff, you know, the guy that's been on the podcast before, he started, you know, tearing up. And he was sharing, you know, that was a family tradition for him. You know, and it's like, I didn't say anything, but, you know, that was always a family. That was, you know, we didn't do anything until there was like a story from the, you know, the Reader's Digest, those books that the Reader's Digest used to send out, Christmas story. We'd do one of those, which mom would call a tearjerker. And then, you know, we'd you know, go to, you know, Luke 2 to be able to do the Christmas story.
Yeah.
And just him reading that, you know, definitely brought up those emotions from the, you know, past Christmases just in that moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you think about it and how circumstances change. But yeah.
Yeah. And for decades, it was just the same thing. Like, kind of almost don't hear the words, kind of almost don't think about it. Because I think about our Megan's side of the family, we always do a nativity together with the kids, you know, and we have the same script we do every time. But yeah, it's just kind of this thing you always do, and the meaning isn't that significant until something like this. And then it's like, kapow, smash full of meaning. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No doubt. Yeah. So it was, you know, unto us a child is born type thing, you know, and you think about the impact of that one, especially as, you know, we think about death and salvation and, you know, what that means. And, you know, so it was just kind of neat. And, you know, it has also, I'm thankful in some way. Well, I'm thankful in a lot of ways, but I'm thankful as I think about our kids. I would dare say one of the early conflicts of Christmas that I had with my dad was, you know, when he addressed my mom and dad's concerns about, you know, equality around, you know, the holiday and how that was spent. And we got into a, you know, heated discussion. That's what that's, you know, that probably not too many people know
something
about that.
30 years ago or something.
Yeah. Like you say, you know, well, we'll be 27. We'll be 27 on the 14th.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, but you know, 20 some years ago, you know, we had this heated discussion and, you know, I can still remember how I respect the fact that they wanted to address it. And I was able to, reciprocate in such a way that said, okay, yeah, we spend it here, but this is also where we have our relationships, the people that grew up with our kids and, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and he was able to kind of accept that in such a way. And I can honestly say, I really appreciate how, from that point on, granted, not that there weren't some other feelings involved, but from that point on, I really got the sense that they were grateful for the time that we offered. Yeah. It wasn't that there was ever a concern after that there wasn't enough.
Yeah.
They were really, you know, I think for me, that's helpful going forward because I realize the circumstances are going to change.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we think about it in this terminology that says, you know, well, we never get the same amount or you more with them or, you know, versus just being grateful for the time you have, if you can come through for a meal, you know, or, you know, you don't have to stay overnight. You're welcome to stay overnight. But, you know, I just have really valued that dynamic, especially, you know, when mom, you know, prior to when mom was alive, you know, it's like, yeah, if you can catch us on the way up or, you know, that'd be wonderful, you know? And so, yeah, it was just that aspect of being thankful for the time has been
that's something for you to start learning and adapting. Yeah. It's interesting. There's also obviously something to be said for that conflict that you and your dad, you know, that conversation where you were able to transfer some empathy together, right? Like he was able to start seeing it a little more from your perspective because we enter almost every conflict from a very centralized viewpoint, my viewpoint, you know?
Yeah.
And I think good conflict allows us to broaden that view and you were able to learn a little bit about, oh, yeah, my parents, they need that time with us. They care about that time.
Yeah.
And he was able to kind of take from that, Mark's got his own family now. I remember what that was like.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And able to have a little more empathy for each other, which makes sense why that conflict kind of went away, right? Is the transference of viewpoints.
Understanding was created in such a way that there was a greater respect for each person.
Yeah. Which just really enhances the importance of conflict.
Oh, sure.
Even with family members, even in that little window you have at a holiday, like, you know, if you got to take care of some stuff. And but that's hard, right?
Yeah.
At the holidays, you want it to be like the movies, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's rarely like the movies, but yes.
That's what your goal is. That's what your desire is. That's, you don't want to be the one, you know, to turn it into a bad movie.
Yeah.
Because by now, they've actually made lots of good movies with lots of conflict at holidays.
Are you referring to Hallmark?
No. No, there's one called The Family Stone that Megan likes to watch a lot. And then there's another one. Shoot, what's it called? I can't remember. But there's a couple like big family get-together Christmas type movies that are, you know, fairly recent, 10 years old-ish.
Oh, nice.
That have, you know, just have a lot of comedy and a lot of drama, right? And like,
sure.
Yeah. People not doing what they should or doing uh-huh. what they always do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. And yeah, conflict is almost always there's a big blow up, right? In these movies. And as a result, that's very similar to what we were just discussing with you and your dad. And in the end, there's a transference, right, of viewpoints and the ability to start seeing it a little bit differently and have a little bit more grace.
No doubt.
Which is...
Yeah, because I can still remember, you know, it was like we were at my grandparents' house and, you know, he asked me to step out into the back room. So I knew something, was going to happen, you know, but yeah, it was definitely a understanding that was created.
He didn't start taking his belt off.
No, not at that point.
Depending on how you answer.
He was never a belt person. Oh, okay. Yeah. We always had that. We always had a piece of hardwood on top. Hardwood trim on top of the refrigerator.
You didn't see him reach for that.
No, that was while we were in the wrong household. It was in my grandparents' house. So yeah, no, the board of correction was on top of the
board of correction. Man, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
If you have small children and you're still open to the idea of corporal punishment, is that what's speaking?
Yeah.
Then consider naming it the board of correction.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna grab my slippers.
So what? So
you keep talking.
Oh, feet are getting cold. Gotcha.
Would you like your slippers?
No, I'm good. Right. I'm good. So yeah, in that as the seasons change, you're talking about it from that cooler weather coming. As we're discussing this, I'm thinking about you, and I'm not trying to pin it on you, but in that process, I'm thinking about changes for you as far as last year versus this year. What differences have you been able to notice? What awareness has been created, if I may say so?
Well, I mean, we're kind of in one of those, what do you call those seasons where it's just kind of all the same for year after year after year in the
you
sense
think
that
it's redundant?
In some senses. I mean, my parents live in Kansas City and Megan's parents live here. And so obviously, you know, it's kind of like what you were describing. Some years we go there, some years they come here. Sometimes some years we just stay here, they stay there, that kind of thing. Some years we go to Minnesota. It's been a while, but we went to Minnesota.
Parents came here last year for
quite
a while.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually last year we had a good discussion, sort of a conflict type thing, sort of you and your dad. And I feel like that was, you know, very good, which is one of the reasons, you know, I was, you know, sharing that. I think conflict resolution is an important part of that time spent because, I mean, there's not a lot of things you can do. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do best in person. And one of those things is conflict resolution.
Sure.
And so it sucks to have to kind of like I already said, use some of that family time, use some of that, you know, for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there might be no better use of that time. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that's necessary, if that's a part of what has to happen.
Sure. If you're able to reach resolution, I think that's the difficult
that's
part.
True.
You know,
it was a long. Might be going home early.
Yeah, exactly.
kicking them out.
When somebody storms out and says, "No, we're not getting together that's anymore," true. And then they never get together anymore, that's sad. But
yeah. That's very true. I mean, I guess you can't.
But ideally, if you're able to have that resolution and very much like you're saying, create greater self and others awareness.
Yeah.
I think that's because that's, you know, the ruptures or the conflicts will come.
Yeah.
But if there's resolution or repair to it, then and we both grow in that ability to see things from other people's view. I was thinking about it, you know, too, you're at the point where, this will be a different Christmas for you from Megan's family. In the aspect that you guys were all a little more together. Well, Megan's brother is in Minnesota, but now her sister has moved out too.
Yeah.
So that changes. You guys were all a little more centralized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that'll.
Yeah. I mean, Kelly, who moved away.
Yeah.
Kelly was on the podcast before too.
Yes, she was.
But anyway, they live in Hanging Rock State sure. park, which is 4.5 hours away or whatever. So, I mean, you know, they yeah. can hop back and we can do Christmas on a different day if they can't do it that sure. day or whatever. And I think that those plans are already nailed down. I don't know what they are. I just go when I go, when they tell me to go.
There again, I think that's another good point too. I think, you know, as we think about circumstances change, not necessarily having everything nailed to that 25th, 24th.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, because
if Christmas has to happen yes. in that window, you know, especially yeah. as, you know, you're developing your own family, you yeah. know, you want to have your own traditions. I think that can make it very difficult because it adds a lot more pressure.
Especially as the parents, right? To be, this is when we always do it. This is yes. when we have to do it. If you don't do it now, it means you don't love us.
Yes.
Kind of thing. It's like, well, excuse me.
Easy for you to say. Like Justin's getting choked up just thinking about it.
Something like that. Like you were saying, at some point, those parents who are being that way got that day. Right.
I hear you.
From whoever had, you know, so it's like, and there's a forgetting of that. But yeah, I think you're right in the sense that those specific moments, those days, like the day, the tradition is really good for that time of rearing your children up. And that's when you kind of claim that from your parents for yourself, for your family.
Sure.
And then you hand that baton off as, you know, or that ideally, right?
Ideally, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the difficulty is, I think, you know, we can look back and I'm saying for me personally, we can look back and say, wow, we've had these great traditions and I don't necessarily want those to change. And yet that's one thing about life that we can count on is the fact that, yes, change is going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that ability to recognize that, because I think if we're able to recognize change is going to happen, change is happening, you know, then we can kind of avoid that resentment, if you will, of, okay, you know. Mm-hmm. That can come around the holiday seasons, you know, for many people. And I think it's definitely become more prevalent. In other words, when we lived in New York State, even that was easier because both of our parents were you know under 45 minutes away,
right? So you could even fit both in one.
You could
the 25th if you had to, right?
You could. Like,
yeah
and it's been fun to, you know, in some ways to be away and experience the other side of that coin, you know, as far as that ability to be local and have family members come into town, you know, and experience that. But then now it's in some ways to respect and, you know, recognize what it's like for those people who are out of town to come in and, you know, work into that, you know, family system that's kind of established.
Yeah.
I think that's,
which is kind of what we talked about in the last episode.
Yes.
So there's some of that, but yeah, you're now starting to feel the pinch on the other end.
Yeah.
Even from our last conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. To be able to recognize, okay. Yeah. To get north and spend time, quality time. And, you know, and I appreciate the fact too, that, you know, this year, with Chris's family, we'll likely do, you know, Christmas or celebrate it, you know, in a different fashion than what was, you know, typically done.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I can respect how that change of tradition, you know, makes that longing different, you know, especially for, you know, Chris's mom, Linda, that kind of thing, you know, in that season of sorts. But yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting too, because traditions and repetition create unknowingly expectations.
Yes.
Right.
Very much so.
For 12 years, you know, we read Luke.
Yes.
Who you say, right. Yeah. Or whatever. Or we did the nativity with the kids like 12 years in a row. So the 13th year, of course, that's what we're doing.
Yep.
Right. And then reality kicks in one way or another, because I mean, it's very interesting as we're talking this out. I can see it in my own family system. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you can too, just like the seasonal shifts of what you're describing. And definitely as I grew up, we always would go to my mom's side of the family pretty regularly.
Sure.
It wasn't always on the 25th. I mean, it was, mm-hmm. we just figured it out, right? And I remember those times, and that was just always what we did. And now I haven't been to that side for a thing in, you know, decades probably.
Oh, wow. Sure.
And at some point, you know, that shift happens. Yep. And it's just, you know, you can see that. But you can see how people who are, you know, not just people, me, like yeah. all of us, you get invested in those traditions and don't even realize how yeah. important they are to you until they go away, kind of like
exactly
we were just describing.
And I think, too, it makes it more difficult. I mean, you think about it in your lifetime. You know, from an aspect of were your parents, when your parents met, okay, did they basically live in the same general area? Did they meet in that same
yeah.
general? So basically their parents, your grandparents,
yep.
were pretty localized
yep.
to one for another. Sure. Yep. Same for me.
Yep.
You know, and I think, you know, as our culture has become more mobile, you know, I think that makes it a little more difficult because, you know, now we have people who are, you know, coming together from places further away.
Yeah.
You know, and so I can respect, you know, my parents, you know, especially my, you know, our parents of that generation, how they met in a localized area.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and so that tradition.
For generations.
Yeah, that tradition was from their family.
Yeah.
You know, their yeah. parents.
Yeah.
You know, my grandparents,
yep.
you know, had this, you know, process of tradition.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I would yeah, dare so say in getting... your lifetime, you know, that has changed, you know, because I think about you folks yeah. moving away, you know, and yep. And Megan's parents moving away. Your parents are still pretty well where they were, correct?
No, my parents okay. were in Minnesota. Now they're in Kansas City. My sister okay. moved down here with us when we moved. Then she moved back to Minnesota. Then a few years later, my parents moved away from my sister to Kansas City, right? So yeah, definitely a I lot gotcha. Of that's new.
Yes.
And like you said, same with both sides of my families. I mean, it was generationally, they were in the same place doing the same things.
Yeah.
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 So it's... Yeah,
so I can respect
things are a little different these
how
days.
That changes. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying it's all bad either, you know, or any bad. I'm just saying it's different,
yeah.
which can definitely seem difficult.
Can seem bad if that, you're,
yes. yeah.
again, if those expectations are set and you haven't really examined them, mm-hmm. you're going to probably look for reasons why it's bad. Like, what's wrong with this? Something's not right. I sure. know what it is. It's this, that, or the other. They're not doing this right or whatever. When maybe it's worth examining.
Yeah.
Maybe it just really can't be what it used to be, and I have to accept that.
Yeah.
And I have these expectations that I can't be met.
Yep.
You know.
And I think it's important, you know, as I work with, you know, couples, it's I can respect how easy it is in that process of change, you know, to blame, you know, the new daughter-in-law or yeah. the new son-in-law because it wasn't until they came along.
They are the harbinger. I mean, exactly. you're right. They are the catalyst. They're the reason things are changing. So
yeah.
it's easy to look at them and go, it's your fault.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then harbor resentment. Yeah.
We had all of our traditions in line yeah. until, you know,
you came
this person came along
and wrenched them out of our hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing to think about in that.
So on your side of the equation, right, as you're getting close to the, you know, that close happening.
What am I getting close to?
I don't know. I hear you. Yeah, it's just that's a sobering reality to be looking at for you, which I know you are already,
yeah.
right, in the sense yeah. of this isn't about that person. This is about these seasons. I mean, that's why we're having this conversation. It's just very forefront for you right now, I think.
Oh, sure.
Is part of it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the challenge if you're in that side of the equation as the parent with, you know, I mean, even with Mia, right? Mm-hmm. She has sure. a friend who's a boy. She's not a boyfriend yet. you know, I'm guessing she's going to want to do something with him around Christmas, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be new for me, new for
yeah.
us, you know, we've never had that. I know Megan, like she wanted to have Christmas Day be our family, and that's kind of our, I mean, again, mm-hmm. it's very similar to what we were just discussing about. That's kind of our day.
Sure.
But at some point, you know, We got to start thinking about loosening up the reins on that if necessary. And so it's even for me, it's starting to look different.
Yeah. And that's,
you know,
just the difference between last year and this year.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Every year is different, except not all years are different.
Well, and I think there's many differences and yet there's many similarities to where we can actually think about, you know, it's like, Some years are different when you think about, okay, we're going to alternate or we're going to go here or, you know, but I think for us, in our family, I think the most beneficial part about that has been the ability to communicate it about it ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're kind of recreating that expectation, or at least everybody knows what to expect a little more ahead. And it gives us time to wrap our mind around it. And I'm not saying every family has to do it that way.
No, but I think you and your family, the two sides, seems like you guys are good about thinking ahead, planning ahead. Because I'm always hearing about, you know, around this time of year, this Thanksgiving time, kind of the plans you have for Christmas. Like, you're already processing it, which is great. Not all families are like that.
I respect that too.
Yeah.
It's just been.
But it's a good thing. So if you can, you should attempt that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to be able to moderate those expectations, I think, is a helpful thing.
Yeah, it's good.
Because I think that's where some of that hurt from the holidays comes from, you know. Yeah.
Assumptions. You know what they say about assumptions.
Yes, I do. Do you care to share?
An assumption out of you and me.
That's right.
No, I was also thinking too, like, one of the challenges of kind of the cultural moving away type phenomena, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we don't quite have as much centralization anymore, like, especially as, you know, just shifting a little bit as that happens, is maybe the inverse. I think you and I discussed a lot about traditions and having them and losing them. And but I think for some, maybe they haven't quite ever established a good set of traditions, even, you know, and I think that's worth the effort, despite what we just all talked about, like,
no,
creating,
I hear you,
this expectation. Like, there is so much value and beauty and tradition that I think it's still important to invest in that. And I think about, like, our family, we moved to North Carolina, you know, my sister moved down here with us and she moved back. Then the parents, you know, moved to Kansas City.
Did your parents move away from Holly for a reason? No, I'm just kidding. not at Christmas time.
I can't say on the air, but I hope Holly listens to this. No, I think Holly kicked them into Kansas City. Just kidding.
We're going to start a family conflict right here, right now.
Let's start one. It's a tradition.
It's a tradition. It's one of the traditions Justin looks forward to. What can I stir up? Justin the pot stirrer.
But yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right.
But yes, establishing good traditions for families if we haven't had them before.
Yeah. Well, what I was saying is, like, and then we moved away from Megan's parents, then they moved down here a few years later. So things have shifted quite a lot over the years. And I think there was a period where we really didn't have our own traditions. We kind of just, what's going to work this year? Let's do that. Let's figure it out and go do the thing, you know, try and fold into others' traditions. And then as we had kids and started to recognize, like, we want something for them, you know? And so we started to establish a few key things that we always do. Mm-hmm. And I think, I guess I would just say, after talking about the issues with traditions, also mentioning how important it is to build those traditions, to have those memory milestones for your kids. And, you know, when they read Luke 2 when they're 30 or 50 years old, right? They get teared up because it's that we don't quite do it the same anymore. And I just think that's really important. And again, a big part of that for us is, you know, like the nativity and the things we do on Megan's side of the family, but also like this whole idea that the 25th, we have this, you know, kind of chill Sunday. I mean, kind of the quintessential Christmas morning, you know, chill pajamas, you know, breakfast, open, you know, presents.
Sure.
And just enjoy our time together.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, that's kind of been our desire and goal, is to maintain that tradition. Although when we travel to go see family members, you know, obviously that's different. Anyway, what about you?
I was thinking about it as you were sharing, you know, developing new, because I think what do you call your Thanksgiving fall festivities?
Falstivities, yeah.
Falstivities, yeah.
That's also a Kelly and Jackson.
But that's a new
thing,
a newer
new
thing.
New as in there. So it's a yearly thing, and we have a trophy.
Exactly.
As you know.
Yes.
Spray painted gold. It's a block of two. It's a 2x4 piece of wood, spray painted gold with the pinwheel stuck in the top. And then there's a little notch cut out. And on the notch stands glued a troll with orange hair.
Okay, I thought it was a gnome, but it's a troll. Well, yeah, I gotcha.
I think a troll is a cousin of a gnome. Okay, maybe.
Either way.
And on the bottom is written the names of past winners in Sharpie, right? So it's a very, very nice looking trophy.
Yes.
And it's got about 6-7 names on it now.
And
so
the winner gets to put it on their mantle.
Has to display it prominently for the year.
There you go.
That's one of the conditions of winning.
Sure.
And they are also responsible for naming the next winner for the next year. So
nice.
Yes. It's a good tradition. And criteria for winning is not doing the best at the falstivities. It's just having good falstivity cheer.
I hear you.
Just kind of good attitude.
You give a sportsmanship award.
Yeah, essentially. Yes. Yeah.
I remember we were there last year, actually Linda was able to join us for that.
That's a great tradition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was one, speaking of creating traditions.
And that was started in the last 6 years.
6-7 years. Yeah. So, I mean, by now it's pretty established. And kids who were 2 when that started, I mean, this is their life. Like, this is their tradition.
They're coming into their competition years.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, I'm going to win it. Yeah.
They're able to throw the log a lot further than they used to.
That's right. Yeah. Although there are some very young names on that trophy had that trophy, because, you know, you don't have to win the log toss to get the trophy.
Exactly.
That's a wonderful tradition. And again, speaking of creating traditions, that was a Kelly and Jackson action. He wasn't able to be there this year, which is sad, because, you know, he works on holidays now as a park ranger.
Yeah.
But we I'm assuming Kelly printed a picture of his face, life-size picture of his face, and taped it to the tree we usually throw the log to. And, you know, that was the joke. So
sure.
I mean, we all took pictures next to the tree with his face. And
nice.
Yeah, so
yeah,
he was
you
there
adapted
in spirit and in paper.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's a good, I mean, in some ways that's a good hallmark, if you will, of a healthy tradition.
Adaptability.
Yeah. The ability to recognize, yes, you know, as, you know, kids move and do their own family thing, you know, there is something to be said for, okay, this is when it's going to be.
Yeah.
And if you can make it, great.
Yeah.
And if you can't, that's okay too. It's not that we love you any less, but we also understand that, you know, circumstances change, and, you know, and Jackson isn't going to be a rookie park ranger, you know, the rest of his life, you know, but at this point, you know, he's low man on the totem pole of sorts, you know? And so therefore he gets that shift. Mm.
Except on Thanksgiving Day, he's the high man on the totem pole. I mean, he is in charge.
He is the man. He is the man on the totem pole. And Christmas too, is it not? Or does it every...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think we talked with Kelly.
I know I should know. I don't know.
I think he has to work Christmas as well.
Yeah. I think you're right, because I think we're trying to figure out when to do the Megan side Christmas. So,
and that's not to say there again that day has, you know, your festivity has to be nailed to that day.
Right.
But at the same time, also being able to recognize, okay, we're not going to necessarily be able to get everybody together.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we love them any less or,
And the adaptability thing, I think what's figuring out what's important about the tradition and trying to maintain that, even if you have to carry it into the next generation or, you know, like, you don't have to do it exactly the same way. Sometimes we get really, really married to the way it was exactly. Yes. And can be a little rigid, but what was important about that tradition and can you extract that into your own family system? Mm-hmm. And, or like you said, if it's not the same, Jackson can't be there as the co-founder of Falstivities. What do? Well, we tape his face to a tree, you know? And I think
sure.
adapting what's important, you know, like, mm-hmm. and being able to roll forward, I think is important too.
Yeah.
Which requires a little reflection. Like, what do these traditions mean to me? Why do I care about them? Why mm-hmm. do I care so much about exactly where that tree is positioned?
Sure.
Or what seasonings on the turkey? Like, why is that so important to me that I get angry when they do it different?
Mm.
And can I extract what's important out of that into something that actually matters versus, like, doesn't matter where the tree is or doesn't matter what seasoning is used?
Yeah.
Right? Like, these little things that maybe we can get hung up on because that's not how grandpa did it, you know?
Sure.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
But yeah, that's why this season is so jolly, right? It's so festive, so happy. And yet, you know, I think the reality is it's not as much as we paint it. I think it's a challenging time of the year. And I think all these things we discussed is part of it. And yeah, families changing, moving on, mm-hmm. which is the natural course of life. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. you know, your kids are in your house 18 years, maybe, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe within that window, there's some uniformity and then
yeah.
things start shifting, right?
Well, and I think you bring up a good point there too, because I think, you know, so often we can think about that influence and relationship in as a matter of, you know, 18, 20 years, if we're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, the whole, I remember, you know, generations, the whole time matters, you know, the marbles in the jar type thing. And, you know, you only have so many marbles left.
Right.
And the older I get, the less anxious I get about that time, you know, as far as that influence. And granted, you know, yes, I have less influence. I'm not, you know, but yet I respect the fact that, yeah, there's still that opportunity of influence, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I thought about it. I just happened to think about it the other day. It was like, you know, it's John's a, you know, got his own business doing his own thing, you know, and proud of him. Couldn't, you know, that whole process, but it was just interesting because there was a moment where something didn't go quite the way he had anticipated. So, mm-hmm. you know, he called me up and said, hey, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't panicked or anything,
yeah.
you know, it's like, you know, I'm just thinking, and it's like, that's, you know,
yeah,
that's outside of that 18 year
yeah.
influence or 18 year old window
yeah.
where you just basically have the ability to still call up your, you know, hopefully
yeah.
call up your parent and say, my dad and I, we were talking about the other day. It's like, oh, shucks, you know, mom's not here because there was somebody that we were talking about having to be at a funeral. It's like, well, is that their daughter? And it's like, mom would have known. Mom
yeah.
would have known. You know, yeah. it's like dad and I were both saying, dad was saying, I don't think that's their daughter. And I was thinking, I think that was their daughter. And it's like, you know,
yeah,
mom would have been there,
yeah,
but you know,
solved it.
She would have solved it. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, so that has
yeah.
changed,
yeah.
you know, and I think about it, you know, but still my dad and I had the conversation and, you know, and John and I still have the conversations as far as
yeah.
that goes. And I think that's we don't necessarily, that influence doesn't necessarily just
right.
go away.
Just cut off. If it does, it arguably maybe something wasn't done correctly.
Yeah. And I think, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed
yeah.
to being intentional
right.
with our family time while we have that influence. And I think, you know, parents are the greatest influence and we need to be mindful of how we, you know,
yeah.
steward that time. But yet, you know, I don't think it's a matter of, you know, the whole urgency of I only have this much time.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, my child's going to dissipate, you know, when they turn 18, that type mm-hmm. stuff. Granted, their lives, they develop their own lives. They
yeah.
do their own thing, but yeah.
Yeah. You might be singing a different tune in 2 years or whatever. We'll
yeah.
revisit.
Yeah. I could be.
But no, I, that's one of the things I appreciate about you know, you being about 10 years ahead or whatever in life, your kids, all that kind of stuff, is I get to kind of see how things, you know, see a little bit into my future, right? In some senses. Obviously, yeah, yeah. Your family's different.
Life cycle stages.
It's helpful to kind of see some of these things and even what you're saying, like, oh, the minute they, you know, graduate high school or whatever,
yeah.
It's not a turn off the flow of conversation. And I think one thing that I'm taking away from that, but also I think generally it was good advice is like parent now for that future. Like if you're just a jerk right now or you're, you know, super strict and, you know, I don't know, just whatever version of bad parenting, if you do that now, your chances of having that ongoing open conversation relationship the rest of your life diminish, right? There might be a point where they're essentially good riddance, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, I don't mind.
Or the other end would be needy, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm just looking at that from a continuum. You can have both.
Yeah. Where you're like, man, I sure wish they'd, you know, move away and go to college and do something. And then
the other side's like, you know, you can't go away, you know, it's a dangerous world out there. You know, you got to stay here. Yeah. And it's like,
so all of those versions are poor, unhealthy relationships versions. And I would argue for like parent now for that future.
Sure.
Where you have a good relationship through the course of your life. And I've also, as to the influence, I'm still seeing you influenced by your mom, right? Like we're talking about her, right? Like she's gone, she's passed on, and yet her influence continues on in your life. And, I'll see that the rest of your life. I know it. Like and even in the course of her death and all of that process of going to the funeral and all those things, like just, I feel like there was like this boost of influence in your life from her life through that whole period. Sure. Right. And even your dad as well, like as you came to appreciate and recognize a lot of those things in your family. And I think there's something to be said for that, too. Like live in such a way to where when you pass away, you're still influencing your child. You know, I think there's something to be said for that. And then the last thing I was thinking about as you were talking is, you know, John calling you up asking for business advice or whatever. And at the same time,
it wasn't business advice. That's his mom's job. No, it was, you know, just a technical thing. Yeah.
Technical advice. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Pardon me. I got that wrong.
It's okay. I got to clarify because I'm not the business end. I'll be the first to admit it.
All right. Good to know. I won't go to you for business advice.
Yeah. If you need business, talk with Chris, talk with John, but you know, technical stuff, I can maybe help.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I've asked you for technical advice plenty of times, so I understand that. But I've seen the table flip a little bit where you called John up, you know, the other day we were looking at this heater thing I got for my garage. You're like, let me call John up because, you know, John's got expertise when it comes. Exactly. He is an expert. He is literally an electrician. So, that's the influence can start to flow both ways.
Reciprocal.
And that's maybe an opportunity that can be maybe us be too prideful to recognize, like, I can start experiencing them influencing me once, you know, like we can start shifting the tables a little bit. And that's also a really cool benefit and really cool opportunity in that transition.
Sure.
Right. And again, I'm watching you, I'm learning, I'm going, oh, interesting. You know, at some point I might be asking Jewel, you know, like, what do you think about this thing? And I'm like, I really like that idea. And I like, you know, again, shifting my parenting right now to think about that and to accommodate for that. And, you know, sharing that, spreading that onto the listener, hopefully, like, there's an opportunity there in the future where you're not the sole expert in the relationship.
And, no doubt.
You know, they have an opportunity to influence you. And even as they influence you, you broaden your ability to influence them as you listen, as you're not too prideful to take in what they have to offer, as you're able to exchange how I see it conversations where they can share how they see it and you can listen and share how you see it and kind of have a respectful conversation, you increase your ability to influence them even more as you listen, as you take in what they're learning, growing, seeing.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, there's going to be a lot of things they learn the hard way, and their perspective is going to be immature, and you could kind of like, oh, you're just dumb or immature, you haven't learned yet. Or you could just listen and say, that's interesting. Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning that a little bit too, even with Mia and like some of our social struggles, you know, and just kind of, sometimes, you know, it's a challenge not to just go, well, stop doing that thing and just go, you know, that is tough. That is tough. I remember that. That was tough. And I've had to use that sentence a lot, you know, it just in the sense of having empathy and not trying to swoop in and say, well, it's the answer is this simple, because it's really not. I mean, it feels like it is from my perspective, but it's not, you know?
Yep. And I think it's even that, you know, as you think about it, not being that simple, you know, I think as, you know, the people that have lost loved ones in the process of the year, you know, that's not necessary, or, you know, in recent years and years past, and, you know, it's not that simple as far as, you know, being able to, because you were talking about my mom and the influence and that kind of thing. And there's this idea, if you will, that, you know, there's actually two deaths when you think of a person's physical death. And then there's the time when there comes a time when their name is no longer mentioned.
Right.
You know, and I think that's when, you know, that influence. And so, yes, people have that influence, you know, for years after, you know, they have, you know, passed on or passed away, that kind of thing. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of that country Western song, you know, I hear voices all the time. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, this kid growing up and he hears his grandfather say, or he hears his father say these things, you know, and it's a pun, or, you know, play on words based on, you know, mental health, but it's reality in that sense of the things that we hear, or when we look back, how many of those traditions or phrases or come to mind.
We're so self-centered, right? I mean, just typically as humans, I'm not saying you or me, or, you know, I'm just saying generally we have this outward view, like I'm the center of the universe, right?
I hear you.
And so this concept that people will forget my name is very offensive.
Ah, hear ya.
And yet, no, it's reality. That's once you go in the ground, you have a limited time.
Yeah.
So again, kind of rethinking beginning with the end in mind, and well, how can I parent now to where that's not such a big deal is really about, I think, you know, who you are becoming who they are. Like the essence of what you've learned and grown, and the things that your principles and all that, being able to distill them in such a way that is who my kids become. Not so much that they give me the credit or that my name is mentioned, although hopefully they hear voices in their head too. And it's me saying these good, wise things, right?
Sure.
Not the mean, you know, critical things.
Those may be there too.
Those will be there too.
Hopefully the balance is.
Yeah, exactly. But I hope, you know, they would have the same goal, you know, desires, the same learning, you know. It's kind of some of the stuff we talked about last week, even, which may or may not be released, but this idea
depends
that
on the order of releasing, but
do you think?
No, that's good stuff. And you know, I appreciate I appreciate those who I have learned from, and I'm happy to be able to point out areas as where I've failed, and hopefully, you know, you're able to see, I can hopefully point out areas that I would do differently, and hopefully you're able to see areas that you would say, no, I may want to do it like that, and whether I'm aware of that or not, that kind of thing. I think there's something to be said for, you know, somebody, if you know, somebody above and somebody below, know, somebody that's you know, investing in you, and somebody that you're also investing in. And I think, you know, I think in a lot of cases that is God's design for family, you know, is that we have grandparents and parents, and, you know, and then it will eventually become, you know, parents and grandparents, and that above and below is still kind of, you know, part of that discipleship model, if you will.
It's a seasonal model. It's very, you know, it follows after seasons and I think this is a great conversation, a great hopefully a great episode for you as you head into the holidays and maybe cut it off at the pass, some of those expectations, and maybe readjust a little bit, start bringing in into the holidays some of the begin with the end in mind concepts of,
sure,
you know, what do I want my kids to appreciate in 20 years versus, you know, what do I want right now? And
yeah,
what do they want right now versus what are they going to appreciate in 20 years?
Yeah.
Right. Because they're not always the same. And sometimes those traditions aren't what the kids want right now. Right. They want to play in their Game Boy or,
yeah,
wow, I dated myself, the Switch,
okay,
Nintendo Switch, when you're saying, no, it's time to do the Nativity or read Luke 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And remember, what's important 20 years is not that they had Nintendo Switch time.
It won't be the present.
Right.
Yeah. I hear you.
So just something to, some concepts, some ideas to bring into your.
Yeah. Just some food
Christmas
for thought.
Yeah. For me. Too.
Yeah. So depending on when this is released, on behalf of How We See It, we hope you and your families, you Justin as well, and your family have a wonderful now Christmas coming ahead, and you know, thankful for the Thanksgiving that we've been able to have. But know that we value and appreciate you as our listeners, and you Justin in the process of being able to do How We See It.
That's right. Same here. Very appreciative for all of us, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This is How We See It.
And Happy Hanukkah, if that's you.
Yes, indeed.
Did we miss any? What
likely so.
I can't think of any, but I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes. Blessings to you and your family. This is How We See It.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.